I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to I Like Beer, the podcast where we discuss great beers and the stories that go with them. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Jeff.
On the road again.
On the road again. It's one of our favorite spots.
At least once a year, sometimes two or three times a year. Central Coast, San Luis Obispo specifically, where we do a little camping and a lot of beer drinking.
Very good. Yeah, we get to as many breweries as we can hit.
We're friends who love good beer and telling stories, so we turned it into a podcast. Teachers by day, beer drinkers by night. Lucky enough to live in North County, San Diego, beer mecca within a beer mecca, but sometimes we got to branch out.
Yeah.
Kick the dust of our crummy little town off our boots and see the world. So please pour yourself a beer, pull up a bar stool, and join us.
Hey, doctor coming to you from my bidet. And I was thinking, I'd really like a nice cold beer. So can you all buy me a beer, please? Not a coffee. Go to ilikebeerthepodcast.com, click on buy me a coffee, and buy me a beer.
That's buy me a beer. Click the link on the website. And when you do, you support our podcast. We get to keep doing this. You don't really pay for our gas.
True.
But you help us keep
it
doing
all
this.
Helps, yes. Yeah.
Much appreciated. ilikebeerthepodcast.com. So we're heading to Okanagan,
yep. As
we've been to multiple times since they opened. Always for lunch. Great place. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to Dylan, the owner over there at Okanagan.
Very cool.
So every President's Day weekend, four or five years in a row now.
Correct, yeah.
A couple of visits in the summer, we find ourselves on the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo.
Yep.
And over the last 8 to 10 years that we've been coming out, the brewery scene skyrocketed.
Every year it seems like there's one or two new breweries.
And they get better and better and better. And this has been our go-to after mountain bike ride lunch spot for 3 years, I think.
I think so. I think it was 2 years ago. It was the first time we stumbled in here. And all of a sudden people said, hey, this might be the best brewery in San Luis Obispo.
So we are at Oak and Otter. Look it up. Come out to the Central Coast. Find it. With owner, brewer, custodian, Dylan. Dylan, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the Oak and Otter story. What got you into brewing, and how'd you talk your wife into doing this? Because I think you alluded that this is, there was
yeah,
some smoke and mirrors.
There's a lot of that. Started out, I went to Cal Poly, and then I started working the bars downtown. So, and then a bunch of guys lived together. We got a homebrew kit, and then, you know, because we're like, why don't we make beer? And I kind of fell in love with it. I rolled that into like just brewing every day, every week. I was brewing with my wife. Let me use our backyard when we moved in together. She's like, that's your little brewing zone. So like Tuesday was my like brew day. I just brewed every week. I had a little kegerator out there. But I was working at a bar downtown, and I was like, you know, I like this aspect of the serving, talking to people about it. I like bartending, but I'm like, I also like the making. And behind it, it's like, well, what's the way to combine those? It's like a little brew pub.
Mm-hmm.
So we convinced a guy that this is a good idea to kind of like get us, you know, started with an investment. And then this place used to be Seven Sisters. He ran it for 2 years. He was trying to do a full-time job and this with a huge commute in between. He got burned out. A friend of a friend let us know that he was looking to sell. So we decided that's the easier way to step into this rather than going through all the licenses and all that kind of fun stuff. It was a pretty easy changeover. We bought it in September 19, opened as Oak and Otter in January 2020.
Yeah, so that's right about when we came.
Yeah,
that must have been a month after
pretty close,
you opened.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you came in like February 2020?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Well, we were impressed.
I would say the thing that jumped out of us, though, right off the bat was just the quality of the beers. Like, there was like every beer we had, we're like, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
so that's somewhat uncommon for a brand new, you know, as you're figuring out a system, as you're figuring all that out, you're going to have some.
Well, I did, they weren't all great.
Right.
But some of them didn't end up on the board.
I don't put them up on the board if
I don't feel comfortable with
them. An important decision to make, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right? Like, you're serving the public, you're part of a community, you don't... Yeah.
Yeah. Right. If I wouldn't drink it, you know, it's like, I've sensed the flaws not really putting it on there, that kind of thing. So there was a lot of, you know, trial and error learning this system, because I was homebrewing with 5 gallons.
Right.
And there's a pretty good brewing community. A couple of my really good friends have a homebrew store. They kind of like led me through a lot of the sizing up, you know, just troubleshooting. Yeah, because it is 5 gallons to, what are these, about 120. It's there's some things that come up that I wouldn't know as a home brewer. Like, I mean, just using industrial chemicals, one thing that it's like I wasn't too sure on, and it kind of helps.
But right.
A little confidence boost rather than fumbling through myself.
Well, we're talking around the beers. On the side on this trip, I've been researching English pubs for our trip to England, so I couldn't resist ordering your English brown ale. Mm. So tell us a little bit about this beer.
So when I was homebrewing, one of the first styles I really liked was brown. And I always liked Moose Rule from Big Sky. Actually, for our wedding, me and my wife mixed like two beers, and then we drank the beer. You know, that was the mix. She had a pale ale.
Instead of lighting a candle?
It's like it's like the same.
Oh, that's right. Genius.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
I chose Moose Rule, and she had a pale ale. I thought it was going to taste terrible. It actually tasted all right. but I always liked the English styles, the kind of maltier, although I'm drinking an IPA right now. But I like the maltier side, hence my board is a lot of English styles. Like there's the red, the brown, the ESB. There's usually a coconut porter, a stout, a couple stouts on there. So
we've had the peanut butter. We've taken the peanut butter stout home more than once.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that one's just a kind of a fun little thing that everybody enjoys. But yeah, I liked browns, and I always like the English styles. They age better, you know, like, but they're not as big of movers, not as popular. But here, you know, I brew a smaller batch. It lasts longer. It ages better on tap. So that's how I'm able to do a lot of those beers, is because I don't have to brew it as often as an IPA, and it tastes better. IPA, you know, 3 months in, it's like, all right, we're brown, it's like hitting a stride. So that's how I can do that, have so many beers for such a small little system here.
Yeah, because you do have a lot of beers on the board. You must be here a lot.
Yeah, the taps are, I think I have one in the waiting. So there's one that's just waiting for another style to go out and go on.
But I was saying, we're looking at it's a full board out there, and you look at the size of your facility here. Like you say, you must be brewing 24/7.
Yeah, it's brewing.
Yeah, but that's good.
I keg one, fill it up the next day. Yeah, you know, that's the just kind of keep it rolling.
I mean, we're here on a Saturday, and it's packed here, which is really cool to see as well.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't rain.
Yeah, soon. Yeah. And I was saying, your blonde, that's the first one, because I had a blonde. I like lighter sometimes.
Yeah.
And what a great blonde. It's really good. And I've had blondes from almost every brewery I go to. If they have one, that's like the first beer I'll order from that place. And it's a fantastic blonde. And then the Hellas as well.
You got to come in hard with your blonde if you're an 805 land, right?
Yeah.
So your blonde, it has to hold up, and it definitely does.
There's no honey malt in this one.
Yeah. It's very good. So, Oak and Otter, tell us that. What's the story behind the name?
Oh, that's the name. So, long story. Wineries, brewery, anything alcohol, you can't double up on. So actually our legal name is LPB Associates. So we're going to be like Los Padres Brewery.
Okay.
There's a mezcal down in Santa Barbara, Los Padres. So we're like, because, you know, we like the nature theme. Like we're kind of thinking of landmarks around here. And then, you know, there's a ton of oak stuff, like knotty oak, dead oak, silver oak or whatever. So we're like, we don't want to do that. One of our friends just said Lazy Otter. Kind of like that, like an adjective otter, kind of like an English pub.
Yeah,
started going through those, and then my wife's boss's 5-year-old kid just said Oak and Otter, because we were talking about those two things, and I'm like, that makes so
much sense. That's brilliant,
So, you know, like the land and the sea, the O&O, and like English pub, like Barrel and Boar, or Frog and Peach, you know.
That's great.
That is great.
We got named by a 5-year-old. But it really works. I love the name, and it took a long time to get there. You know, all these little things, but I think it worked out.
That's great. That the English pub vibe, that makes sense.
I like it. Like my honeymoon, I went to England, and we were just like, I was in pub heaven. You know, that's like my dream, you know. So that was...
So, and then for obviously, I mean, you come up here if you're visiting, but for locals or anybody up here, what are some things you got going on here? I saw the trivia.
We have a trivia on Wednesdays. Events here, we do, well, once it warms up, we'll have like music.
Right.
As you can tell, it's not a big spot, so we try to have, you know, just like a solo acoustic guitar, or maybe a duo. That's our music, because it's just not that big of a venue. And if it's raining, it's a lot smaller. It's right. Like half patio.
Yeah. But there is food, and the food's very good. Yeah. It's very good.
The and food is very good. Yeah. The cook is one of our friends that
nice.
Is way overqualified for this. But he loves it here, so it's like, yeah. You know, he turns out a really good product. So.
Well, cheers. You're doing a great job. I'm going to join you in that IPA. So what's the name of this IPA? And give us...
Little hoppy
tasting
otter.
Notes. Hoppy otter.
Yeah, mm. So it's just a standard West Coast Citra Mosaic Amarillo. Yeah, and like I said, it's kegs an hour ago. It's
yeah, you
really
said
fresh.
This is as fresh as it can be.
Yeah, the fresh as it can get.
That's delicious.
Yeah, that's really very good.
Yeah, it's just standard West Coast, but like low bitterness, not like your traditional. Like I have the old school up there, which is more of like. That Sierra Nevada, yeah. A little bit more malty, bitter. Like this is like what a IPA of today usually is.
It's a kind of very approachable IPA, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to just wreck your palate on that,
right.
You know. But it's actually very, very tasty. It's got a lot of flavors and
Yeah, nice job. And so this one, you alluded to that. This is a small space.
Yeah.
And the IPAs move fast. You can spend your entire time making IPA right here.
Yeah.
Especially if it's this one.
Yeah. Because
this one's got to fly, I'm going to guess.
IPA is still king. Hazies go fast, but it's still that West Coast that just drives everything. And like I was saying with the English styles, they kind of follow behind. Like people come in, they're like, oh, you have an ESB? That's great. Mm-hmm. But not everybody's like that. The vast majority are like, give me your IPA.
We are, but not everybody.
Yeah, I know. Give me your IPA. So that's you kind of got to drive that.
We are pretty excited to see an ESB on the board. That's not something we can find in San Diego very easily.
No, it's weird. I mean, like when I first started, I was in college. It was fancy to get like the Firestone DBA.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it was like in a keg, like somebody's having a kegger with a DBA. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Great.
You know, this is a high-end party.
Yeah, no, fancy.
Unfiltered.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I really like the style. That kind of got me into the English styles, leads to the brown and all that kind of stuff.
I have a six-pack of that in the back of the car right now, because whenever I come up here, I look for the most recently produced one and grab it and throw it in the car.
The unfiltered one?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So what we kind of alluded to earlier, I mean, we came here a couple of years ago and this becomes a kind of a must-to stop for us. You can see, even like I said, we enjoyed the beers this time, but coming this time, evolution, what's next for you guys? What are some of your goals going forward here?
I mean, our goal is just to keep going. You know, right. We still have a lot of room to grow here with our tap room and everything like that. I think it's just making this, dealing with the system and making the beer better.
Right.
Always dealing with that. And then... there's not like an expansion in the future, you know, short term future, but maybe long term, you know, maybe getting some cans because there is a mobile unit that just got a smaller size canning unit.
So oh, okay.
It's like designed for somebody like me, so I'm like, maybe that's something
take
I can
take four
like,
to go.
Yeah, just like a four packs and you know, because we do have those crawlers, but they are oxygen. You know, it's like you need to drink them relatively fast.
Right. That's why I got the stout. I wasn't as big of a hurry.
Right.
Exactly. Your beer tenders are fantastic too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We come in and we nerd out and we've got a bunch of questions and this gentleman behind you right now walking up and they're always super helpful and patient with my questions because I always have a bunch.
Yeah.
It's so well trained. Are they beer lovers or you guys? We train them up.
He's my partner in this. So when we started this. I'm like, I'm going to deal with a lot of the back of the house stuff. You're going to deal with a lot of the front of the house stuff. He worked with me at my old bar that I worked at. It was like, let's do this kind of together. So
we always appreciate when they'll take the time to walk us through a couple things and give us, I already got three IPAs on the board, but which one should I be drinking? And
sometimes you go to a place and they just give you a blank stare and you're like, oh, okay, wrong person.
Right.
You know? It's all right.
What was your major at SLO, at Cal Poly?
Business.
Business,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, so it kind of worked out. Yeah. Eventually, it kind of comes around.
That's very cool. So, what do we got here on this one?
This is the Otterversary. I know all the otter puns.
We like it.
Why I otter? I want to see. Next time I come in, I want to be a why I otter.
Yeah.
Why I otter?
Lost in otter space.
Yeah.
That's like a galaxy IPA. I just need to get some good galaxy. So that we have our anniversary is in January of every year.
Yeah.
So I brew it's just a Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, no,
9%.
Wow, it's so smooth.
Oh, that's 9%?
Yeah. I would not guess. I don't like to go too heavy. Like, other than that, I have the double IPA, which is like 8.4, but everything else is lower ABV.
But a lot of times when you get some 9% in that type of stuff where it gets boozy, this isn't very boozy.
Boozy or syrupy if it's an imperial stout, right?
Very, very
this
smooth.
This is neither.
Yeah, just try to dry it out a little bit, but not too much. Just easy drinkable where it's not hot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because I always like to have more than one.
Right.
That's so a rainy
I don't like to
beer,
do anything.
Right?
That's a great beer. Yeah, for the weather we have today,
just yeah,
around,
yeah,
just stout sipping right this. And, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So what about the beer? So in San Diego, there's a tight-knit, we're very proud, there's a tight-knit beer community because
huge.
They've all kind of come up through it together.
Yeah.
Right? And the big boys have taken care of the people coming up. There's some of those grandfathers of craft. What about the San Luis Obispo Central Coast brewery community?
I mean, slow and specifically, I mean, we got some really good bigger breweries. Like, I mean, Liquid Gravity just won. Right. Brew of the Year, GABF. It's just right over there. There is non-existent, it's one block that way. They do really good stuff. I mean, Central Coast Brewing and, I mean, Slow Brew, they're all huge. And, I mean, the brewing community, like, I know most of them. I'm the little guy on the block. So,
right.
You know, sometimes it's, I don't matter too much. But I do my own little thing here. It's a little bit different. Just being an on-site, more of a pub rather than their cans are everywhere.
Right.
But we do have a really good brewing community. Like, it is nice being known that Slow is known for that now. Mm-hmm. So it's like people come here as like a, because I remember I, like, you know, just 10 to 15, you'd go down to San Diego and make a trip at it. Like I did with my wife for our 5-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. We went down for a beer trip. You know,
right.
That's what you do.
Right.
So it's becoming nice that Slow is, you know, getting the recognition, and I'm just kind of tagging along, just hanging on the coattails.
Well, we hope to spread the word.
Yeah,
not
you're
that
doing
we
a great,
too
honestly,
proud
you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
the quality of the beer is what will.
Yes,
but at the end of the day, that's what people are going to come back for, and your beers
exactly.
Your beers are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And the flatbread and nachos
and the
big salad.
Yeah, so
because the food board is terrific.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan, you're doing great stuff. Thank you for taking some time to share your story and your beers with us.
Yeah, thanks.
Cheers.
For having me.
Yeah,
cheers.
That was fantastic. You want to try another brewery?
Yeah, let's hit another one.
Humdinger.
Humdinger.
They're new to Slow.
Yep.
They've been in Arroyo Grande for a while. We haven't been there. New to us.
Yeah.
Let's just do a pop in.
Sounds good.
So, continuing our travels through Central Coast, San Luis Obispo. We're at Humdinger Brewing.
Brand new spot for us.
Brand new spot for us. They've been around a bit, but new to Slow.
New to Slow, it sounds
since we were here last.
Correct.
And we're with Justin Amy. Thank you for having us, Justin.
Of course. Thanks for being here.
So, like we said, Slow been here about how long?
Slow's been here about 7 months. We kind of focus on events and stuff like that here. We also have a 10-barrel brew house that's 3 doors down to supplement all our beer needs here. And then we have a 5-barrel in Arroyo Grande as well.
And that one's been established for how long?
About 4 years on March 17th.
Okay. Nice. Well, this is great. And we have, it's a rainy day, although it's the first time, and we've been coming here for years during President's Day weekend, and it's always sunny and warm. So we were due to get rain.
Fair.
It was going to happen. But we have two great beers for a rainy day.
Agreed.
Jeff, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Humdinger McDermott, which is a red ale. Which is fantastic, and I think the thing that's impressive is it comes in at a 4.5% ABV, which is very approachable, very drinkable beer. And I was just commenting that I really enjoy it. It's very balanced. Not a lot of times you'll have a red, and it'll have a lot of that caramel notes, and it's very dialed back on this, which makes it very drinkable.
Justin, tell us about that. Your red.
So the red is a recipe that we got from a book that you guys might know called Brewing Classic Styles. And we made our first batch of it for a special person that recently passed away of brain cancer. And we wanted to do something to generate some funds for his family. So we named it after Tom McDermott.
Okay.
And yeah, so we made our first batch. It was a little dark. It was a little more malty than I'd like. I want like an all-day sipper type of beer. So we kind of dialed back the roasted barley and crystal malt and made sure the ABV hit right in that 4.5 range, and that's what we got. And been really happy with it.
You nailed it.
And then I'm having Humdinger Peanut Butter Falcon because it had the word peanut butter in it. But usually you see this in a stout or a pastry type stout, or an imperial stout. You put it in a brown ale.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to have the malt in kind of take a back seat to the flavors that we use as far as peanuts, and we actually used a banana extract. It was something we developed after we had a mixed drink called Peanut Butter Falcon, and I kind of wanted those flavors to pop through without the real roasty notes. So that's what we got out of that.
We're a great beer. And what? So you got a pewter. You got some seltzers on the board. You got a pilsner. Of course, you got your IPAs for the people that got to have their IPAs.
Of course.
What do you drink when no one's around and it's a rainy day and before the Jeffs show up to a impromptu podcast? what's Justin Amy drinking?
Well, lately I tend to actually go toward the Irish red ale. You know, I like a beer that I can keep my composure and kind of sip throughout the day. But for my personal taste, I started out being one of those crazy hophead IPA guys that were in line for all the releases and stuff like that. And now I find myself drinking more like light beers, like our German Pilsner, Chips Ahoy Crispy Boy, or McDermott, or if I don't want any alcohol, our hop water called Bubble Buds that we made with a heaping helping of hops, about 3 pounds per barrel of citra.
I want to try that.
Cashmere.
I want to try that. So it's a hoppy, non-alcoholic seltzer.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to try that.
Yeah, it's very pretty interesting.
Can we try that?
Of course.
I'm very curious about this.
Hop water? I've been seeing that in a lot of places.
Since we met with the non-alcoholic cocktail guys.
Impromptu. Improv.
Mocktails.
Mocktails, which...
It's opened my mind. Wow.
So a question for you real quick
before we get into
this is that... One of the things when I saw it, your logo is amazing. I think your logo is great with the boat and the shooting out of the cannons with the beer bottles. What? Tell us a little bit about Humdinger. Where'd that come from?
So when we were about to open up our AG location, we were trying to think of a name. And the brew house in AG, Arroyo Grande, is an electric brew house.
Okay.
And I'm into like some metal music, and there's a band called Bolt Thrower, and I said... You know, I was telling my partner Lee, I said, let's call it Volt Thrower because it's electric. And he goes, Volt Thrower. He said, what do you think of that, man? And I said, I think that's a humdinger of a name.
Nice.
And he saw me.
Is he from the 1920s? Did he say Jiminy Crickets? I think that's a humdinger of a name.
No. We stopped each other right there and said, there it
that's
is.
That's it. That's it.
Boom.
When you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No, it's great.
Okay, I'm drinking Bubble Buds.
Yeah.
This is actually really good. This is so good.
And I can totally see what you're saying. Like, between beers, you have it because you still have all the flavor and everything else, but it's at the same point, it's going to cleanse your palate a little bit and make it ready for whatever else.
Or you had your two beers and you're done and you're driving to drive home
or whatever.
But whoever's playing, because you got a great stage here, has 5 or 6 more songs. I just switched to this and my brain says I'm having a beer, but
I'm not.
I didn't know what to expect of it at all, but it's fantastic. Really, really it's good. Like a pale ale.
It is. You nailed it.
Yeah.
It's a humdinger.
Zero calories.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Zero calories.
No. Oh, it's actually good for me right now is what you're saying. Yes. I'm actually losing weight as I drink this.
Well, that's so good. It was my instinct to drink this after we were recording.
Yeah, no, but I think it's really, really good. No, I'm glad you did.
So, wow, that's so good. So... We got the humdinger story where the logo. Oh, so there's where the name came from. But this logo, battleship shooting off and out of the cannons are coming the beer bottles. So what's that part of the story?
So once we decided on a name, we kind of knew, you know, how we used humdinger in our everyday vernacular. But we looked it up and we saw that fast and powerful were describing words for humdinger. And we were thinking, what's fast and powerful? First thing that popped into our heads is a battleship. And we said, yeah.
That's the first thing that popped in your head was a battleship.
Yeah, fast and powerful. Okay. I remember sending Lee a gift.
There is no faster way to travel than by boat.
Right?
That's not true. I was being facetious. Okay, that's where your mind went.
I sent Lee a gif of an old Popeye of Bluto with a battleship on his chest.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we said, yeah, let's do that. And Lee said, let's have... beer bottles coming out of the cannons.
Fantastic.
And yeah, we put that all together with our designer, Scott Gretschy, and he came up with that for us.
And so the name, the logo is just organic. You're bouncing ideas, which is the whole thing behind beer, right? You're with your buddies, and you're bouncing ideas.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And then I noticed we came in here right next door, actually attached to it. You walk through the door there, you have I guess it's a craft brew. It looks like almost maybe wine/craft brew store.
It's all types of craft fermentation. Yeah. So wine
distilling.
Distilling for, you know, it's as far as you can do it legally in the state. Yeah. And beer, of course. And
very cool.
Keep all the different malts in stock. Basically, when we started out in AG, we started selling so much beer that we started contracting through Doc Cellar.
Okay.
And because they had the Tin Barrel Brew House. And then after a while, we said, you know, we might as well own the business.
Just come next door.
We're their number one customer anyway. So we bought this place and then decided to open up a tasting room here.
Yeah, no, fantastic. No, very cool location. Like I said, we come up here every, you know, February present. And every time it's like, is there a new one? And so your name popped up this time as far as this new one. So another great location to come check out.
Yeah, if you haven't come out to the Central Coast to do a little beer quest, do some beer travel, some brewery visits, it's happening. And you guys really, Humdinger, it's about 4 years ago. So really that's just when it started to shift. That, I mean, before that it was, you could get a Sculpin and you get an 805. And if you went to a Firestone Walker place, you get something else. But that was about it for quite a while in the Central Coast.
Yeah, there were two other breweries that opened up within a few months before or after us. And all of a sudden kind of a scene really sprung up here when there was few choices before.
Well, people got a taste for it and
that's
wanted
right.
more.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
So tell us about the event space.
So we have our stage and the whole PA system set up here. We've had about 7 to 8 concerts, really focused a lot on heavy metal and hard music, but we kind of want to get all over the place. We're having our first country night coming up on Wednesday the 21st with a local band called the Lucky Nines. So I'm looking forward to kind of encompassing a lot of different genres of music just to get people in here, because we're kind of isolated in the industrial area we're at in this location.
But lots of parking. We had no problem. Yeah, in fact, we got the primo parking spot, so there's plenty of parking. There's great beer. There's a non-alcoholic option. And another seltzer, Watermelon Rough Patch, if that's your vibe. So come on out to Humdinger. But we got a question. The name of the beer is Boots and Hose. There's got to be a story there.
It's kind of a play on the Boats and Hose from the Step Brothers movie. But we thought it was great for it was a collaboration between the Five Cities Fire Authority and Humdinger Brewing. And we both have to wear boots, and we both deal with a lot of, you know, we have brewer's hose and they have their hoses. And we thought it was a good little combo of names to cover what we were doing as far as a collab with those guys.
So you've got the McDermott, which is for a charity cause. You've got the Boots and Hose. So you're part of the community over the last 4 years.
Absolutely.
Has this been important to you?
Give it back.
Yeah. When we opened on the first day of the first shutdown for COVID-19.
What great timing.
If you remember that, March
13th.
Yeah, March 17th, something like that. Yeah. Whenever St. Patrick's Day was of 2020. So,
Well, for us, it was the 13th. Our work was shut down the 13th, and the world shut down on the 17th.
Yeah, and you guys, everyone else shut down.
So, if we didn't have the community standing behind us, we wouldn't exist today.
Yeah.
And they really showed up big time, and that's one of the unique things about the Central Coast. It's how, you know, they'll make sure that, you know, if you take care of them, they'll take care of you, and it's one big family.
That's one of our favorite things about the beer industry and the beer community is it seems way less competitive than business and much more about let's be in this together.
Yeah, we're doing this together. Right.
No, that's great. Yeah, like, you know, Lee and I started at a homebrew club that would meet at a different brewery. And other people, members of our homebrew club, they opened their own brewery in Grover Beach. And And yeah, it's the way you get started.
Good segue.
Yeah. And so the segue, we just came from Okinawa, where we met with Dylan and asked about the beer community and the little guys.
Yeah, we're just working on the beer.
And guess who just walked in the door?
That's
Dylan.
Hilarious.
Okinawa.
Like, I was on my way home. My daughter's still sleeping, so
yeah,
I have time to stop for a minute.
Very cool.
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Really appreciate it.
Time, guys.
All right, finishing up our evening at Bang the Drum, where we first visited Bang the Drum on our very first brewery road trip. It was a little place made out of containers.
Yeah, it was very small.
Railway containers. They have branched out and become something special. We've been lucky enough to have several interviews with them. But we just came here for some mac and cheese and chicken pot pies.
Yeah, it's unique. You don't find too many breweries where they're serving homemade pot pies.
We got to get some chocolate chip cookies to go, I think. Yes. So we've had a great time in SLO. I finished up with the Blonde Ale, Calidad, which is a
Mexican lager.
Calidad's a Mexican lager.
Yeah, it's a Mexican lager. And the Blonde Ale's as well. Yeah.
Blonde Ale's a collab with Tarantula Hill, and it was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
So always some good beers here. Bang the Drum. Noel not here this time, but that's all right. We enjoyed ourselves, had a great time in SLO.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a place to get out of San Diego, check out some beers and a beer scene that's booming, come on up. Listeners, thank you for spending the time with us. Remember just a moment to rate us, review us wherever you get our podcast. Check us out on Instagram. Visit our website, ilikebeerthepodcast.com. We'd love to keep drinking, but right now, we got to run.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.